excited about this new journey. Right now, I would say that there is a hunger to know what's happening in the world. And what am I supposed to be thinking about, you know? And so I'm here to tell you today that God hasn't left us alone. Can I get an amen? He hasn't left us alone. He hasn't left us to try to figure this all out by ourselves. But he's actually given us the gift of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we will be able to open that conversation over the next several months. I am just thrilled. I'm excited. I'm thrilled about the journey and excited about what God will do. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is probably the least read and the most intimidating book in the Bible. And it's the least read because it's the most intimidating book, right? But Revelation is a tremendous gift from God. And right off the bat today, I just want to say that there is a lot in Revelation that's hard to understand. And maybe you're thinking, you know, thank goodness, you know, that Pastor Sean and Destiny, we're going to look at this at Destiny, because once we're done, I'm going to understand every single thing in Revelation. No, you will not. Because there is a lot of stuff in Revelation that is difficult to understand. And so we're not going to major on the things that are the hardest to understand. We're going to major on the things that are most obvious and they're clearest to be understood, because there's so much in Revelation that we can grasp right away. And so we're not discounting any of it. We'll be in all of it. But I want to show you today, even in the overview from chapter one, you're going to see this, what I'm telling you, how you can get lost in the minutiae and just miss the main thing that God is trying to say. And so I'm excited. If you're taking notes, so on the backside of your bulletin, this is one of the most significant letters that you've ever received. It is. And we need to embrace it. We need to breathe it in. And you need to plant in it. And you need to root in it. You need to read it. And you need to treasure it and not be afraid or intimidated by it. Now, it is awe-inspiring. So there is a little bit of intimidation in it, because it's the throne room of the Almighty. It's the throne room of the Almighty God. And it's the end of age. And it's the battle between, you know, evil and good. And there is a lot of awe and wonder in it. But I want us to be grateful for it. And I want us to embrace it. And this morning, I want us to read it together. So if you're able, I'm just going to challenge us together. We're going to read chapter one. And I invite you, if you're able, to stand as we honor God's holy word and read it. I'm going to put it up on the screen. And you can just read along. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants, the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Joined John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be his kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen." And then Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." That's why I was there. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, 'Write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia," hey, that's us, "and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to his feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze where it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Thanks be to God for the power of his word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray this aloud together. Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Lord, I receive it as a beloved child of God with ears to hear and eyes to see what my Father will show me. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. So we ready? We ready to jump in? Whew. You know, can I just give a little testimony just before we jump in? I'm just gonna do this off mic. Sorry for the live stream for a second. Can you just mute me? Thank you. Check it, check, 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 check. Bow, bow. Jesus in the book of Revelation this morning. And so we just read chapter one. So a few thoughts. That's the prologue of the book of Revelation. So number one on your notes. Very simple. This is the revelation of Jesus. That's what it's the revelation of. Can you say that with me? It is the revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is just a small note, not trying to poke at anybody here, but note the name of the book that we're reading this morning. It's not Revelations, as some people tend to say. I've done that over the years. It's just one revelation. So there is no book of Revelations. When we're reading chapter 5, you know, Revelation, it's you're reading Revelation chapter 5. So that's for free. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And revelation here, it means the unfolding. It's like you're opening up a, you know, a scroll or the revealing. The letter is written to unfold to you Jesus. So you're like, oh, I already heard all about Jesus. Well, there's more about Jesus in Revelation that I want us to see. There's a revelation that happens of Jesus in this book. And so this is the apocalypse, if you will. And it's not like the apocalypse movie that, you know, for men who like, you know, movies like that, or women who like movies like that. An apocalypse doesn't necessarily mean the end of the age when everything blows up and it's just crazy wild. Apocalypse means we're unfolding and we're unveiling and we're revealing revelation. And so this is the revealing of Jesus Christ to you and me. And it's the revealing of the risen Jesus. So we're going to talk about that in a bit. But the second thing that I want you to see in this revelation or this letter, if you will, that we've received is it is to show us something. It is to show us something. You'll see this. It's to show us. It's the main thing that it will show us is that what must soon take place. And so in other words, there's an urgency in this. There's a confidence in this. Something's going to happen and you need to know about it. And so there's a revelation and an unfolding and a revealing of Jesus. And the revealing of Jesus is show us what's going to be coming soon to pass and what must take place. So how do we get this? We get it because God sent an angel to John. The same John who wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. He's one of the disciples, a follower of Jesus. You know, the one who said about himself, you know, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Well, good. I mean, he loves everybody, but, you know, he's that guy. He's the one who's getting the privilege of having the angel come to him and invite him into the story, as we're going to see in just a moment, so he can have a tour of heaven. It's like the backstage tour, right? I mean, and to see the future unfold so he can come to us and let us know what's happening. And the next thing, the third thing we see here is that he's going to share with us what he saw. And so this isn't just John, you know, going one day, you know, I kind of had some ideas and I wrote them all down and it's cool and hopefully it'll get in the Bible. No, this guy isn't saying, you know, I had this internal sense of a revelation or a mystery of God. No, this is, John is being used as an instrument to see things with his own eyes so he can record them and share them with you and me. And because of that, in this first chapter, we're gonna see that we're getting a glimpse of what's happening in the throne room of God in the end of the age. I don't even know how to say that any stronger. You know, we're getting a glimpse into what is happening in the throne room of God. And I was thinking today, you know, that I don't know what it would be like to be into the control room of NASA, you know, when the astronauts, the last person they see is you. And I mean, that would be pretty cool. I don't know what it's like to be, you know, in the hall of the President of the United States. You know, I don't know what it is to be like in that room. And I don't know what it's like to be in the locker room of the most, you know, celebrated sports team in our nation and see what happens between the minutes of halftime and the victory. You know, I have gotten to be in some green rooms with some pretty cool people. Randy Stonehill was a big one for me. You know, I got to be backstage with some of those guys. But you know, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, who you knew or who you've had access to. Today we're seeing into the throne room of Almighty God. And we're gonna get to know the end of age. So about 10 years ago, this I was trying to think of, like, how do you even explain what's going on here? About 10 years ago, I was on a trip with Tiffany Mata. Does anybody remember Tiffany? She's been here a couple times and did a live stream once. We've done some trips with her. Leon has been down there with her. I've been down with her in Honduras, the murder capital of the world, right? Hey. Crazy place. And there's so many ministry opportunities there. And it seems like everywhere you go, this is my experience, everywhere you go, just ministry was just happening. And there was one night where Tiffany was partnering with this Christian band. And I'm talking about the band with the brass section and the amazing drummer and the percussionists, and then you got the dancers that are, you know, doing the dance while they're singing. And I mean, it was the music was so good. But not only that, we set up this stage in the middle of the street, and the whole block shut down. And I didn't even really know what was going on. I was just there to help, and it's like, we're gonna have a concert, okay. And the concert started and the music started playing. And what I witnessed, I mean, it was just one of those things. There was a couple times on that trip where I just like, this is heaven, you know? And our kids, I was with a group of young adults who I was kind of in a mentoring relationship with at a time at a leadership school. And several of them, several times during the trip, would just break out dancing. And I'm like, you guys don't even dance, you know? They would just be dancing in the street. And the music started, and I saw, I mean, there was probably maybe eight of us, and they just started dancing in the street as the music started playing. And there was probably, I don't even know, 500-600 people that had just all of a sudden, when the music started playing, because it was amazing, it was like the kind of music that makes you want to go like this, you know, the salsa and the horns, and you're like, you don't know how to dance either, son. but so I was watching this, and it was just immediate tears going down, because our students started this dance, which started like this tidal wave of just erupting dance and praise and running around, and you know, it was just a celebration of Jesus. And the horns were going, and it was like a good beat too, so it was like a good beat celebration of Jesus. And so I was like, oh, this is heaven. And people were just shouting, and the noise was so loud, and I just, tears were streaming down my face. And so all I could think of to do, because, you know, this is my culture, and this is what I grew up in, is like, I gotta get my phone out, I gotta record this, right? And so I get my phone out, and I'm just trying to catch this, because I wanted to share it with the people back home, right? And so the internet wasn't great, so it took like 2 days to get it to them. But I was capturing this, and I was looking around for it. I couldn't find the footage for you this morning. But I wanted to capture a little bit, a glimpse of what I was experiencing on the streets in Honduras. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm telling you, God is giving us this amazing, miraculous gift, because he's taken John up into heaven. And all he's doing, honestly, is he's doing this. He's holding up the phone and he's saying, I want you to hear this. I want you to see this. Because it's blowing my mind, right? And right when we're going, you know, what was that? You know, who is that? I don't even understand what you're seeing. You know, I've never seen anything like that before. Provide a little bit more clarity, please. You know, I want a little bit more information. He goes, I just needed you to know that there's a sound. And I just wanted you to get a glimpse of what it's like. And I want you to hear it. So that's pretty amazing. This is pretty amazing. Now, granted, John was seeing things that he'd never seen before, and so it's like the teenage word, you know? He was saying like a lot. It was like, this is like, this is, it was kind of like the Son of Man, you know? And it was kind of like this, and it was kind of like that. You'll see that as we read through. It's you know, I don't know how to fully describe what I'm seeing, but I've never seen anything like this before. You know, he uses those kind of phrases. It's not like a really different version of a beach, you know, that I went to, or a different version of an incredible mountain that we've seen. It's not like that. So it's like, no, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen anything like this before. And I'm trembling and I'm in awe. And sometimes I'm flat on the ground. And I mean, I'm face down and I've got the angel saying, write this down. And then I've got the Son of Man saying, write this down. And I'm trying to write stuff down, but I'm a little bit terrified right now. And I'm face down on the ground and I don't even know what I'm looking at. I've never seen this before. And I'm just here trying to hold the phone up so you can get a glimpse. See that? And I'm praying the day that you and I will glimpse that this is a little bit different maybe, but I came across this in my feed. Maybe it's popped up in yours, a fascinating account called AI Bible Official. Now, don't just turn off because I just said AI. I know some of you are, you know. But they have this mission of putting the Word of God into software and letting the program create art based out of the Word of God. So it's a fascinating idea. And some of it's been popping up in my feed. And if nothing else, it's intriguing. So here's what I'm talking about. This is just a short little clip. Watch this. This one's titled Biblically Accurate Angels. Watch this. So, some of you that have read Revelations before can kind of get what the computer is getting at. But we're talking about John seeing things he's never seen before. There's a revelation of Jesus, the unfolding and the revealing and the uncovering of the risen Christ. So this story is given to us so that we can know what must take place soon. And it's John who's called us up to tell us what he's seeing. And what he's witnessing. And he's seeing things he's never seen before. He's giving us a glimpse into the very throne room of God. And so, you know, AI official, whatever that account, AI Bible official is trying to show us what John describes. Now, obviously, it's AI. And AI doesn't know all. And I definitely don't know all. But I know they're not like the angels that in the Easter pageant you saw when you were growing up. Because every time they appear, they say what? Fear not. Something is awe-inspiring about what John is seeing, and he's never seen anything like it before. And interestingly, about this letter, this is what he says in verse 3. Catch this. Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy. Your translation might say, blessed is he who reads the words aloud. Most translations say reads. But by all means, read it aloud. Read the scripture aloud. Read the entire Bible aloud. Read all the words of God aloud. But blessed is he who reads and those who hear these words. So that's the invitation today. That's the invitation. It may be a little bit intimidating. There may be some things we've never seen before, things that are hard to explain. And we're just getting a glimpse. But keep on reading. Dig in, because blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy. Not only those who read and listen to it, but those who heed or keep or hold on to the things that are written in it. So I pray, here's what I pray. Here's my prayer this morning. I pray that we just don't come into this journey around Revelation with the mindset, okay, we're gonna study the book of Revelation. That's not what I want. I don't think it's gonna happen. I think God has a different plan. I think what's gonna happen, I believe God's thinking that Revelation is gonna study us. That this isn't a, let's look at this thing and see if I can understand it better and, you know, get some more information in my head. But no, this thing is going to study us. It's going to read us at the end of the day. So to jump ahead, the greetings in doxology shows us what's going on. It says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. And we'll get to these churches a little bit later in the book. But John turns and sees, and Jesus says to him, write on a scroll what you see, and then send it to the seven churches. There's the seven churches. So now if you Google, you'll get present-day Turkey. Let's throw the map up on the screen. You'll get present-day Turkey there. And you'll see Istanbul is right up, kind of on the top left. I don't know. I know it's far away. But you see those red dots over to the left? That's where the seven churches are. That's the cities. And they all have churches. And so that's what he's, this is where he's writing these letters to. Many of these churches were established by Paul and others who have gone to spread the news, you know, about Jesus and his resurrection. And churches have emerged here and pressure has come. So it's a difficult time to be a church, to be the church. And so he's writing to the seven churches in the province of Asia, in Asia, and this is what he says. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, that's Jesus, and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, right in the opening, we get Father, and we get Son, and we get Holy Spirit. It's from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. That's who the letter is coming down from. And from the seven spirits who are before the throne. But in also in some translations, it says the sevenfold spirit. So what are the seven spirits before his throne, and who is the sevenfold spirit? Seven, as we'll see, there's a lot of number sevens in the book of Revelation. It's all throughout. It's a number of completion and perfection. And so the sevenfold spirit is the fullness of Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit in all of his fullness and completion, and he's before the throne. And so we see Father, and we see Holy Spirit, and we see the Son right there. They're the ones who are sending this revelation. They're the ones who are unfolding what is to come. And we come down to this next little section here, and we see that out of Father and Holy Spirit and Jesus, it's Jesus who is the centerpiece of Revelation. They're highlighting the Son, the risen. So that's why it's called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Makes sense, right? That this may be the epicenter of the entire revelation in everything we'll study over the coming days. It's Jesus. So behold, it says, your translation may say look. Behold, that word look or behold will be a regular occurrence in this journey too. So the one who has the glory and the power forever, Jesus, is coming with the clouds. We like to sing that line, don't we? He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be, amen. So he's coming on the clouds. You might remember that scene from the opening line of a powerful song written in this house, right? Who is this who rides the clouds? Gliding through the skies, right? We sang it this morning in our opening song. Why is that just, you know, it just feels anointed, at least to me. Why does it feel so powerful? Why does it have that extra on it? I because it's just the word of God, just extracted and pulled out and put into music. So it's not just poetic, you know, he's coming on the clouds. No, it's right here. Behold, he's coming on the clouds. And every eye will see him. It's right here in the text. Now, this is one of those places where we can spend forever or just move on. And not to say that every word from Scripture isn't God-breathed and inspired and important, but it says here, even those who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So why are we saying that? You know, are we saying that actually the guy who took the spear and stuck it in his side, you know, he's gonna see him? The people who drove the nails in his hands, are they gonna see him? Are the people who conspired the plot gonna see him? Are they saying the Roman centurions are gonna see him? And why will the whole earth mourn when he comes on the clouds? I mean, you can spend all day long answering those questions. And I'm not saying that they're not amazing and important questions, but the point is, he's coming on the clouds and every eye will see him. And so you can go down into a little hole. What does it mean that all the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see him? Or you can just stand amazed that the whole earth is going to see him. Even the people who organized his extinction are going to realize that he is the risen Lord. And this is every eye is going to see him. Every eye is going to, that's the important part. Your eye will see him when he comes on the cloud. Your eye will see him. So don't get too confused about the people who pierced him, because, I mean, honestly, it was our sin, right? Ultimately, that pierced him. We're all gonna see him when he comes. And then Jesus speaks in red. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then John tells us his story. I'm John, your brother and your fellow partaker in the tribulation, the kingdom of perseverance, which are in Jesus. It was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So what does that mean? It means that, like the disciples, John was persecuted. Now, Peter and Paul, they're already dead by this time. This is 96 AD, and Domitian is the emperor in Rome, and he's running the world, and he thinks he's God. In fact, he has everybody go into a temple and do a little ritual and an act of worship to him, or else, right? They're gone. And most people, they just go in, they do the ritual, they don't care. It's like, what does it matter? They go to the temple and they do the ritual, and they're basically saying that Domitian is God, but not John. He's not going in there and putting something on the altar and saying Domitian is God. He's not doing that. So he's been persecuted for his faith. And he's been exiled to the island of Patmos, not too far from the seven churches. Now, you can read some different commentaries. Tradition says that they tried to kill him multiple times, but he didn't die. He's just the guy that, you know, doesn't die. He's like the guy that they're shooting at in Star Wars. The bullets don't hit him, you know. Some church tradition says they boiled him in a big vat of oil. So they had this big birthday celebration, and for entertainment, they drop him down and sank him into the oil. He just bobbed back up and came out and started talking about Jesus. So they said, we got to get rid of this guy and send him to Patmos. So he goes out to Patmos where there's a rock quarry and spends the rest of his life there. And as far as we know, this is in 96. Jesus died in 33. So we're already a ways down the road. We're 63 years later after Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I don't know how old John was. I mean, you can watch The Chosen and figure that out. But probably somewhere in there. You know, 26, 29, somewhere in there. So here's John now. And he's in this rock quarry. And that's what he got for following Jesus. But notice what he said. He said, I'm out there on exile. I'm on Patmos. Then he says, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So physically, I was on Patmos. I was on the island. Spiritually, I was with the Spirit of God. I was there, you know. Hello. So you can banish me to the worst part of the earth, but I can still get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So please, you know, go ahead, put me in a tough spot. I can still get before my God on the Lord's day. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was still showing up. He had not lost his faith. He had not given up on the risen Jesus because he'd seen him. And here he was in the Spirit. And he says, I heard behind me a loud voice, here's that word, like the sound of a trumpet. No, it wasn't a trumpet. It was kind of like the sound of a trumpet. And so I'm trying to imagine in my head, you know, what does that sound like? The voice said, you know, I don't understand what that means, but the voice said, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches. Then I turned to see that voice that was speaking to me. Then I turned to see that voice. Sound familiar? Anybody? That's where Brent and Tana got their name for their ministry, See the Voice. So this is already off the grid. You don't turn to see voices. You turn to see, you know, who's speaking. But he's heard some kind of voice in such a way to go, I don't know if I've ever heard a voice like that. That sounds like a trumpet, like the sound of a trumpet. I got to check that voice out. So he turns and he's interested and he's pursuing and he's beholding. He's looking. So he turns to see seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, and he was clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool. Some of you are saying amen and hallelujah to that. They were like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. So here's a guy talking to you with a sword coming out of his mouth. A sharp one. With white hair, eyes of fire, and feet glowing like they've been in a furnace. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Do you know what that feels like? Have you ever felt the power of the sun, right? Have you ever felt the sun shining in its all of its brilliance? It's like, I gotta get some sunscreen on, like fast, right? There he is in all of his brilliance, and there's John. Now, again, this is John, the disciple that Jesus loved, right? That what he written about himself. This is the guy at one point he said, you know, when we were all crashing at the end of the day, I put my head right on Jesus' shoulder, right? That's him. That's John. And John continues here, and what does he say? When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. There's a big difference between those encounters. And we'll dig into this risen Jesus a lot next week. There's a big difference between the risen Jesus, so now, right this second and forever, and the man from Galilee. I mean, it's the same Jesus. It is. It's the same Jesus. But, you know, the Jesus John was familiar with chose incarnation. So he had flesh on. You know, he looked like us. So he didn't walk around Galilee with the sword coming out of his mouth. You know what I mean? I mean, his words were like a double-edged sword, but he didn't terrify people by his presence. He terrified demons, right? But now he's risen. And I think many of us, just stay with me for a moment. I think many of us in our relationship with Jesus, we even become stagnant in our relationship with Jesus because we finish the Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we're at a place where I'm praying to the guy, you know, when Peter walked out of the boat, said, hey, everything's gonna be okay. You know, I'm praying to the guy who, you know, broke the bread and he fed everyone. And I'm praying to the guy who reached out and touched the leper. And I'm praying to the guy who didn't have a place to lay his head. You know, and I'm praying to the guy who knows, you know, he's maybe my height, maybe your height, kind of looks like some of us in the room, but more Jewish, you know. I'm praying to that guy. And God is saying, I'm holding up the phone today. And I want to show you a revelation that can move your relationship with Christ through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the ascension back into heaven to now understand that the man from Galilee is the risen Son of God. And he's fierce and he's unrivaled and unparalleled in every way. And I don't even know how to explain it. He's like, his eyes are like fire. His face is like the sun shining in its strength. And yes, you know, he lives in us. And yes, he's closer than a friend. And yes, we call Almighty God and our Father. And yes, we know he'll never leave us or forsake us. But I'm telling you, this is the risen Christ. I know I've had the picture in my head sometimes where I'm just gonna walk up into heaven and give him a high five. I don't know that that's gonna be the scene. I kind of wonder if I'm gonna be flat on my face. At least when I first see him. Maybe I'll get used to it and then I'll give him a high five later. But I think I'm gonna fall flat on my face. I'm trying to get a picture, right? He's given us a glimpse. It's not just the man upstairs. It's not just the man from Galilee. This is Yahweh who sits on the throne. And this is the risen King of Kings. And John just collapsed. And I wonder, have you ever collapsed? Have we? Has there ever been a time where the only place he could go was just right? Just, I don't even want to look around. And so he falls like a dead man. And it's not like he even knew what he's doing. You know, it's not like the formulaic, you know, I'm going to raise my hand and put my hand on my heart and, you know, do the things that we do in worship. That it was, he just went down. I was like a dead man. The weight of my body just poof. Just went down. And I want us to come into this journey and around this text, and I want us to understand that glimpses of the risen Jesus change us. And what does he want you to glimpse by reading this? I want you to think about that as we go through this journey. He wants you to glimpse, I think, that he's currently triumphant. That he wins and that he's winning right now. That he reigns now and is reigning. That he's not going to reign, he is reigning. He's not going to be victorious, he is victorious. He's not gonna sit on the throne of thrones, he is on the throne of thrones right now. And he's gonna tell us, and he's showing us, you know, it's gonna get dark, it's gonna get messy, it's gonna get hard, it's gonna be brutal, but don't ever forget that I'm reigning. Even when there's a total eclipse, you know, and the sun becomes completely obstructed, don't you think for a second that the sun's not shining in the same brilliance, right? And don't you think right now that just because of the darkness of the events and, you know, whatever, the cataclysmic ending, and in some ways our view of the risen Jesus, when it gets dark, can sometimes feel like that like that eclipse, right? Like I'm in a dark place. Don't you think in the darkness that Jesus is any less brilliant than he is? He's brilliant today. He's going to be brilliant tomorrow. He's going to be brilliant forever. He is triumphant. And even though hard times and persecution, maybe in the middle of it, he's just as brilliant. So that's why you need those special glasses, right, to look at the eclipse. Right? If you look at without them, you could lose your sight. And if you come in here just rolling up and saying, you know, I'd like to see the risen Jesus, trying to give him a high five, I think we're just gonna fall flat on our face. The last thing, and I wanna close with this. You know, we have wars, rumors of wars, right? Horrible wars that are happening right now, including the war in the Holy Land, crazy weather patterns and storms, and you know, prophecy after prophecy is coming true, and countries are divided against themselves. So, you know, let me ask you a question. Do you have enough water? Food? Got the bunker ready? Remember the year 2000? I mean, we were, oh my goodness. Like, Sean, is this it? Is this it? I don't know. Most people think that it's not the end. They live like it's not the end, right? You know, they're not buying one-way plane tickets and going somewhere and saying, goodbye, honey, forever. It was really good knowing you, right? They're just living their life. And even though we talk about, you know, it being the end and signs and prophecies are coming true, a lot of us on the planet are acting like it's not gonna end. You know, the going to tell your neighbor that we've had a phone held up to heaven isn't happening a lot. And can I just tell you, the Revelation, book of Revelation isn't given to us to give us a timeline. I think we all know that, right? It wasn't given to us to give us a timeline. It's given to us to tell us that our King is reigning triumphant. And it's given to us to say that he's coming soon. Because what this chapter and what just even this prologue tells us is that he's near. And so I just want to leave you with this picture today. You know, if you wanted to go visit Kimberly's family with her in Southern California, and you wanted to go on that trip, what would we do? The first thing we do in our age, you know, we get out the phone, we open up Google Maps. Well, I guess in your case, we wouldn't be driving. We'd be flying. She's like, no, I'm not doing that. So you get on the plane, and you see that dot, right? And you see your destination. And some of the planes, you have the little plane, and as you get closer, you're getting closer, you're getting closer. And so, you know, when you land and they open up, you know, you text and say, okay, I'm landed. And then you text again when you get your check bag. And then, you know, you're texting the people at the house as you're getting closer. And so, you know, we're getting near to the destination. There's that picture. But the thing with Jesus, you could see all that when you're on a trip like that. Or if you're driving, you could see the dot. You could see the destination. And that's not how Jesus is coming. That's not the picture. Jesus is like, he's here. He's like paper thin. If I could just get the thinnest line, right? He's here. And if this is earth, and you can imagine just the thinnest line, the soon coming king is right here on the other side of it right now. And it's just like that. He could step through the veil. Before we walk out of the doors this morning, that's how I know he's coming soon. He's coming soon because he's near, and you're not going to go, okay, I'm leaving now, you know, track me on the GPS. He's not going to give us that. But he's right here and right now. Before you step in the car, you could step through the veil. And every eye will see him. Every eye. He's triumphant and he's coming soon. Some of you have stood the Mount of Olives. You've been there and you've just imagined the scene in your head. I've been there. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because you're not going to have time to track him on the GPS. He's in the neighborhood. And he's on the clouds. That's what I love. He's on the clouds. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. God, I just pray that as a church family, as we go through this book of Revelation, that you would reveal to us what you would want, and that we would see what you'd want us to see. God, we know that we'll be blessed as we go. It says so in your word. So God, thank you for this journey. Your word is rich. And God, reveal to us what it means to know and get a glimpse of the risen Jesus. God, we're thankful for your word. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Before I close, there's just a couple other quick things. Before I close, I want to pray for you if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart. I love praying this prayer. I've just been fired up about this prayer lately. I've been to lead people in this prayer. If that's you, maybe it's a resurrender this morning. Just come into a place where I want to give my life back to you, Jesus. The Jesus who is near, who never leaves us. He's close to the brokenhearted. The Jesus who came on a rescue mission and gave his life for us. He's resurrected so that we could have a resurrected life. If that's you this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hands? I just want to pray with you this morning. Is there anybody in the house? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, I don't see anybody in house, but we have an online audience too, so we're gonna pray this prayer together. And listen, every time we pray this prayer together, saints, you can be believing for that time where you have your friend here and then you get to peek and see if they're raising their hand. Because I want you to, because that's a really special moment. Let's pray to get this together. Father God, I give you my heart. All that I am is yours. Thank you for this journey on this planet. Lord, you came as a rescue for me to give your life. You were buried, you put on a cross, and you were resurrected so that I could have new life. I want to follow you with my life, now and forever. In your name I pray. Amen.